to Ghost Writers Anonymous, an inspirational and interactive podcast where we create worlds through words and writing. I'm Kelsey, and today I'd like to know if you were slang terminology for the word sweating. What slang terminology would you be? I would be dripping gold. So today I'm going to do a teaser episode on Check and Mate by Allie Hazelwood. This was a light romance novel that Leah had recommended in our For the Love of Romance episode. And I had finished this book and I actually really liked it. She had paired this with Silver in the Wood. Totally different books, but it had this light romance thread that Leah thought I would be interested in. And I think it's funny because during the smut survey, Leah had given me a questionnaire. One of them was, are you into tentacle porn? I said no. It was actually mentioned in this book. Leah kind of just slid that in, whether she was aware of that or not. Anyway, it was just a name drop. I want to share one of my favorite scenes in this book. I would call it a come to Jesus moment, where we have the protagonist, who is Mallory Greenleaf. She is a chess player. She started playing chess at a young age. Her father is the person who taught her. She did participate in some tournaments, but then she caught her dad kissing a woman at the tournament, and so she went home and she told her mom, which then caused her family to break up, and then her dad ended up dying in a car accident, so it never aerated into some sort of resolution. It was just one tragedy after another. So she internalized the whole incident as her fault. She thought, if I had never said anything to my mother, he never would have left, he never would have gotten drunk and driven, and her family just never really talked about it, which then created this isolation factor. And her mother, she has this chronic illness, and so Mallory tries to step up to the plate as the oldest. It's her and her two sisters. I think Mallory is 18 or 21 in this, and then her sisters are like 14, 15-ish, and 12. Somewhere in there. So Mallory works as a mechanic and her boss is really overbearing, and ultimately she ends up getting fired because she didn't upsell a customer. So she finds herself solicited by this woman, Daphne, to join the chess club called Zugzwang. She reluctantly gets back into chess because it is a paid position. The reason Daphne even knew about Mallory is because Mallory helped a friend out, went to this charity chess event, and she ended up beating the world championship chess player, who is Nolan Sawyer. And Nolan Sawyer happens to be sponsoring the chess club Zugzwang. He doesn't play under that chess club. If you're able to track down that player who beat me, she would be my number one choice for you to sponsor. And that's exactly what Daphne did. Mallory Greenleaf didn't know anything about this until, of course, it's revealed, and she's feeling a bit betrayed about that. She and Nolan Sawyer had developed this chemistry, and then when she found out about the sponsorship on top of other things, she said, that's it, I'm done with chess, it only brings bad things. And so she pulls up at her home, which things aren't going well there either. So then, while she's cooking dinner for her family, there's this boom, boom, boom knock on the door. Who is it but a member of the Zugzwang chess club? His name is Oz, who I want to say is a middle-aged man, but don't quote me on that. I slip out and slam the door shut behind me. I'm wearing only a t-shirt and it's freezing cold, but desperate times, hypothermic measures. What are you doing here? Oz looks around my porch, hands stuffed in his Burberry pockets, upper lip curled in what looks a lot like disgust. Is this where you live? Yeah, I frown. Where do you live? A high rise in Hudson Yards? Yes. I don't know what I expected. Okay, well, congrats. Is there a reason you're here, Oz? I just stopped by to say hi, chat a little. He shrugs, eyes fixed on the broken trampoline. See if maybe you're ready to pull your head out of your ass. I blink. Excuse me? Just checking in if you're done acting like a big whiny shit who's all alone against the world. Any updates? I blink again. Listen, I know being mean is your whole shtick, but I think it's yours, actually. Excuse me? His green eyes harden. Have you at any point in the last week considered that deciding to ostrich your way through the biggest scandal FIDE has seen in the past 30 years might affect people who aren't you? What's happening has nothing to do with me. Cock cheated. Good on him. My breath paints the air white. I'm done with chess. Ah, yes, you are. Because boo-hoo, your boyfriend paid for your salary without asking for anything in return and didn't tell you. Cry me the fucking Nile. I stiffen. You have no idea what, and I don't care. You want to be mad at Sawyer for not disclosing? Go ahead. Chuck his PS5 out the window. I don't give a shit. He steps closer. I'm here to talk about Daphne and the fact that after everything she has done for you, you're ruining her life. I'm not ruining. I hug myself. My goosebumps are fat little hills on my arms. I'm not. She acts as your trainer and manager, which means that Fide has been hounding her for confirmation that you will attend. Well, I'm done with chess and everyone involved in it. She can tell them that I won't. Oh yes, sure, she'll tell them that. Sorry guys, Mal had a domestic with her boy toy and is out of here. It won't in any way impact her credibility or her standing in the chess community. The fact that the player she vouched for disappeared from the face of the earth, that the player she bent over backward to get into tournaments turned out to be a selfish, flaky... Wait, what? She didn't. I only ever participated in open tournaments. He scoffs. Open doesn't mean walk-ins welcome. There's still a selection process, and people need to prove their credentials, of which you had none. Daphne made sure you could play in Philly and Nashville. She paid for you to go there and let you keep 100% of your earnings. And now Fide is considering unaccrediting Zugzwang because Daphne's star player is refusing to be in the World Championship because... He gives me a withering look. Why? Anger bubbles up. Daphne lied to me. Ah, yes. He rolls his eyes. How, precisely? She didn't tell me Nolan gave her the money. Even though you asked. Despicable of her. I didn't ask, but of course you didn't. You were told that the money came from donors, did not ask follow-up questions, and now you're high-horsing her into the ground. I glare. Oz, why are you even here? How do you know all this stuff? Why would Daphne tell you? He's looking at me like I'm the dimmest bulb in the cookie jar. And I am. Wait, you and Daphne aren't... He ignores me. Do you think chess clubs are a lucrative enterprise? That Daphne makes bank? Rethink that. She bought Zugzwang because she wanted to create an environment in which everyone felt welcome in chess, to prevent others from feeling the way that she had, and she has to rely on donors. Sawyer has been one of those donors for years, and here's what happened. Yes, he gave her the funds to track you down and offer you the job. But when you refused the fellowship, Daphne started looking into other possible players to sponsor, because Sawyer's donation was just that. A gift with no strings attached. I swallow. He was involved in me losing my job, I'm sure of it. Almost. Maybe. Oz shrugs. I wouldn't put it past him. But Daphne? She never wanted anything from you except to see you succeed. Which is the reason she's not here pointing out how much of a whiny little bitch you're being, or suing you for breach of contract. But I have no such qualms, Mal. I don't care if you come back to read Love in the Time of Cholera while you should be studying modern chess openings. You owe it to Daphne to see this year through, and to have a conversation with her about the World Championship, to help her deal with Fide without losing face. He takes a step back. His perennial belligerent air deflates a little, and for once he seems more open than irritated. Listen, I try hard not to learn things about the people around me, but I've heard about your father. I know you take care of your family. I know you're dealing with stuff like his chin points at my yard, that rusty trampoline. But if you unzip your asshole and pry your head out of it, you might realize that there's more to life than feeling sorry for yourself. He nods once and then turns around, hopping gracefully down the slippery porch steps. I watch him walk away, a confused mix of anger that feels a lot like guilt swirling through me. I didn't ask Daphne to train me. I didn't ask Nolan to sponsor me. All I ever asked was for Dad to not cheat on Mom in front of me, for him not to die, for Mom not to get sick, for my life to be normal. How dare Oz, from his Alps of privilege, treat me like I am the spoiled little girl? You don't know me, I yell after him. A cliche. That's who I am. And I don't particularly care to. He opens the driver's door of his Mini. Not if this is who you are. When I slump against the inside of the door, the house feels impossibly hot. I take a deep breath and order myself to calm down. So FIDE, by the way, F-I-D-E, is the International Chess Federation or World Chess Federation, which is commonly referred to by its French acronym, Fédération Internationale d'Échecs. So that's where the F-I-D-E comes in. And Koch, which is spelled K-O-C-H, he is a pretty decent player that ended up beating Mallory Greenleaf in a challenger competition, which is a forerunner for the world championship, which basically disqualified her for the championship. Which, at first I was pronouncing that name Coke, K-O-C-H, but then I started to realize, wait a second, this is actually just a bougie way of spelling Koch. Hilarious, because that is the kind of player that he is. He's just a jerk. But going back to the scene, I love Oz's approach. When we meet Oz, he's a very quiet, sort of brooding character. He's very particular. He likes silence. He's very serious about his routine. And so when Mallory comes in, this promising chess player who doesn't seem to have to work hard to be good, he's a little disgruntled and kind of makes these joking barbs about that throughout the story, how some people have to actually work hard to be good at this, etc., etc. And so I think it's funny that he cited in this scene that she was reading Love in the Time of Cholera when she should be reading about modern chess openings. He's kind of calling her out, like, I know that you were actually doing that. And here she thought she was being sneaky, like, no one's gonna know that I'm reading a recreational book instead of my curriculum. And so I thought that was a pretty good hook in his confrontation with her. I also like that he did not mince his words. He was very firm in telling her, this is exactly how you're acting, this is how everyone perceives you acting, you're ruining people's lives over being whiny. I think you could even border it as harsh, but I didn't see it that way. I was actually proud of Oz for coming to her house and approaching her because I, as the reader, was thinking, oh, someone just needs to give this girl a good rankling, and he did. And it's not like he's just being a jerk for the sake of it. I would call this very constructive criticism. And I also liked his closing line when she says, you don't know me. He says, and I don't particularly care to. Not if this is who you are. I mean, he could have just left it as, I don't particularly care to, but he smoothed it over and left an opening. It's almost like waving his white flag with, not if this is who you are. If there was any sort of softness to his approach, I would say that was it. I often find myself wishing more people talked like this, and I've been on both sides of this. I have had people tear me down like Oz does with Mallory. I definitely held a grudge. And then suddenly I had this awakening moment of, they were right. And that was a growing moment for me. And Mallory was isolating herself and just burying all these things. She was running away. I've done that too. But you have to face the music sometime. I think we are granted several opportunities for redemption. And so this is one of those moments. And that is why his delivery is so raw. But it also fits his character. I would even go so far as to say that Oz is a black and white character. Anyway, I do want to talk about this book a little more when Leah gets in town so we can kind of bounce these ideas off of one another. And also, I will have you guys know that finally, I have delved into Graceling by Kristen Cashore. I hope I'm saying that last name correctly. And I am swept away by it. Chandra had recommended this book for years, I want to say. All I can say is she was right. This book is amazing.